Did your angel fall? Leave you all alone in that place? Did your hero fail?
This is Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you in your journey to stay pure online. You are listening to the fourth and final segment of our interview with Shelley Lubin. Shelley is a former porn actress who now reaches out to women and men in the porn industry through her nonprofit organization, the Pink Cross Foundation. Shelley has spoken in churches across the country, helping men and women see what the porn industry is really like. Today she will talk with us about how the church can take a stand against pornography. She will also talk to men and women in the church who are dabbling in pornography. Co-hosting with me today is Jessica Jones, intern for the Pure Justice Program at Pure Hope. The subject matter on today's podcast is not suitable for some audiences due to graphic descriptions of sexuality and violence. Listener discretion is advised.
You see yourself as precious.
Do you think that your progression into the porn industry is similar to the types of things that women suffer who are swept up into prostitution and trafficking around the world?
Absolutely. We're fed pornography. We're groomed by pornographers and pimps, at first especially. You're so beautiful. There's no one like you. You're my favorite. You're my girl. How many pimps make the girl feel, you're my favorite. And then they intimidate them. They let them know about their power. So the girls are constantly intimidated by the power that they could be killed, they could be sued. Some of them even have guns through their head. And many of them are rape victims who are in shock. One of the girls were helping Marcy. She was forced by Max Hardcore, who is a well-renowned pornographer and rapist who's in prison right now. He forced the girls to do an exit interview to try and protect himself from the brutal damage he did. But what he did is he raped his victims, and then after he was done, he told them how pretty they were, and they're in shock. They're just sitting there in shock after they've been raped, and they forced her to say, did I force you to do this? No. Did anyone hurt you? No. I mean, what are they going to say? The man just brutally raped them.
Right.
So Marcy's now very outspoken about what happened to her. She's doing great, and she's, you can see her information on my website and all over the internet. She talks about this rapist, and he just happened to be one that got caught. The government made an example of him, but there's many, many others. If the girls at first think they have control, they don't really have control. See, the pornographers trick the girls and make them think they have control. Here's a contract. You sign this, and you're going to get, limousine. They lure them with glamour and promises of you're going to get this and you're going to get that. And then when the girl shows up, it's just hell and slavery. I mean, when we go to porn conventions, we feel so bad for them because they're standing there all day and they're just a train seal. And I'm like, hey, come to dinner with us. And they're like, hey, no way, we can't be seen with you. I had one girl come to my booth, grab me, pull me underneath my booth where you couldn't see. And she bawled in my eyes and said, listen, I'm fearing for my life. I'm afraid for my life. If they see me talking to you, I could get killed. And I brought her back to my hotel room where she just told me everything, and I went, these women are, what are they going to do? Who's going to help them? The government obviously isn't doing anything. They know the government's just letting them get away with this. The pornographers are powerful pimps. They're powerful, brutal, and evil men, and they're going to hurt these. They threaten these women. Madeline, one of the girls we helped, she showed up on a set to do a bukkake scene, which is where the men ejaculate on a woman. She showed up on the scene. She was told there'd only be about 10 or 15 men. She was also a drug addict. They were obviously giving her drugs. And she showed up, and there were 75 men on the scene. And she was just kind of overwhelmed, and the makeup stylist just said, welcome to your bukkake. She was really in shock from all of it. And they didn't show tests, and she didn't know when they didn't show tests, she didn't really know what to do. She just thought, you feel like you're trapped, that you don't have any voice. They're very powerful, so she just went along with it. She found out afterwards that it was 75 men off the street who had answered an ad. They had no AIDS test. They weren't even professionals, just 75 men right off the street who wanted to have fantasy sex with a porn star. And that's advertised right here in a local newspaper in Los Angeles. Those things are being forced into. And what is she going to do when she's on a set with 75 men? Say, oh, no, I don't want to do that? Well, then, you know, girls call their agents and tell the agent, I'm not doing this. And the agent says, you're going to do it. You sign a year contract. If you don't, I'll blacklist you, sue you, and I'll send cease and desist papers to other agents. No one will be able to hire you. You know, and some girls say, screw this, and they go back to stripping. But see, this pornography has a phone number. The people from the porn industry, the other porn stars, call and say, girl, you got to come back. They need you. They're going to give you this and that. And then you look at the strip bar and the prostitution and think, you know, what's worse? A lot of the women go, wow, you are so strong and bold. And I said, that's because I have God on my side and you can get out. But no one's ever just come to them and said, you can get out. Step over here now. I'm standing here as your advocate. There's never been an advocate. How many times have I been on set where I felt, oh, my gosh, if I don't perform, I am going to get hurt? All these movies are filmed in private mansions and homes. Who's their advocate? Where is the law? Kalosha can't go around house to house and check on everything. I mean, these are mentally ill, sexually diseased, sexual trafficking victims filmed in undisclosed private places. The final version is edited, and this is what porn addicts and consumers are consuming. They're contributing to this huge sex trafficking act here in California.
Well, I mean, I think I know what the answer is to be this. It's a personal conviction of mine. But do you think that the church, with having the freedom and the identity and the recreation and the power that's offered by the Holy Spirit through a relationship with Christ, do you think that leaves the church with a responsibility to be on the forefront of this battle?
Let me tell you, the church will be held accountable for this entire operation, for not standing up and, for first of all, for participation and the wrecking of human lives. I mean, for the participation of men, Christian men, wrecking the human lives of young women. They'll also be accountable for allowing this to continue in their country. Men have a special responsibility to be leaders. And we need our fathers and our men to rise up and lead their families again. Satan has tried for centuries to take away leadership from men. We need them to stand up and take and help us, to rescue us. I talk to men, and I love them, and God offers mercy and grace, but we forget about some strong warnings from St. Paul about having nothing to do with fornication. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty strong statement. I hope the men are listening.
We are.
Wow. That's good. Well, thanks to Luke and his team for really helping to head that up and provide resources for men. But
Luke, I appreciate Covenant Eyes and all you're doing. I mean, I really pray for you guys. I'm just thankful that you give me hope that people care and are really want to do something about this horrific problem we have in the United States and the world.
Well, we pray for you too, Shelley. I think this whole issue, one, it's therapeutic for me personally. I'll say that. To hear about the horrific things, even as though they're hard to hear, I think it does rip the mask off of the industry itself. And I think that is so important. People do need to see this not just as a personal purity issue, which it is, but also as a justice issue. And you cannot pore over the scriptures and miss the idea that God cares about justice.
Listens to God's word every week allows us to continue. Mm-hmm. People think, oh, the porn industry, pornographers are evil. I'm like, but they don't hear the word of God every single week.
Exactly.
And what's so amazing is God offers everything they need, from mercy to grace. I mean, God is not some mean God up in the sky to stick, but he cannot deny himself. He is a justice and a holy God. His people are the ones that not only are they listening to the word every week, but they're the ones contributing and creating this demand on these young men and women. They're the ones destroying lives. I mean, if you look at God, I mean, he will chastise those whom he loves.
Yeah, he does. And that's what a loving father does.
The church better get ready. He's about to chastise them in a way that's unprecedented if they don't do whatever it takes to turn from this evil and then let God heal them. He doesn't expect them to do it on their own. He offers the Holy Spirit. I mean, really, right now, someone can turn right now, walk in the light and say, God, forgive me. I want to follow you. I ask for your Holy Spirit to come inside of me and give me power to say no to this addiction. And then I'm going to do something different to get a different result. See, insanity is thinking, I'll do the same thing over and over and get a different result. No, you have to do something different. You have to confess to someone, hey, I have a problem with this. Go tell your wife, tell your pastor. And then you have to look around your house and go, what causes me to stumble? You know, I know an addict. I'm a recovering addict. I was an addict from everything from alcohol to food to sex to everything. And I know that I still, to this day, have to maintain my deliverance and wake up every day and walk in the light. And if I fall, I need to confess my sins and get back in the light. You know, that's why I tell porn addicts, it is not hard for you right now, in the name of Jesus, to turn to God and ask Him to forgive you and then turn to someone else, confess your sins, and do something different. Go to a sex addiction recovery class. Be real. Be honest. The faster they're honest, the quicker God's going to heal their lives.
Absolutely. You know what you said before that really struck me was the parallels you see between the addict and the performer. And the one specific thing you pointed out was the escalation, you know, that you go from soft to hardcore to something else, you know, and you definitely see that in the life of the addict. You certainly see that in the life of the performer. And even as you've been talking, more of those parallels come out. The secrecy, that's another major parallel. I mean, you see the kind of secrecy that is involved or needed to be involved in the production of pornography, and it's also the secrecy that's needed in the consumption of pornography. You see the same,
these
parallels that go on. And it is true that bringing sin out into the light, I mean, whether you're on the production end, whether you're on the consumption end, you bring it out into the light and you say, this is wrong. This is an abomination. This is not what God wants. This is not what God intends. I've been involved in it. I'm guilty, but there's grace, and there's always grace. The grace is always greater.
Yeah,
always greater.
I think every porn addict should have to study for the next year 1 John. It makes exactly clear.
Yeah.
And if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. Purifies us from all sin. You know, we've all offered this, oh, you know, Jesus loves you and He'll work with you. And I believe in God's mercy. I am the word mercy stamped on my forehead. But I also know that the church cannot continue to listen to God's word every week and allow sex trafficking to go on in their own country.
The understanding of what God's love is very misunderstood in the church today, because every time you see, I mean, take 1 John, for instance. 1 John's a great example of this. You know, it's the often quoted phrase, God is love. You find that in 1 John. Well, right after that, he says, God shows His love in this, that He made His Son a propitiation for our sins. If you don't understand that Jesus actually went through hell for you on the cross, like, if you don't understand the concept that God is justly angry, with a holy anger at sin, that you understand that sin is real, hell is real, wrath is real. If you don't get that concept first, then the very definition of love, the way John uses it, is lost on you. It is not sentimental, touchy-feelingness.
Even more frightening is at the end when you stand before God and Jesus says, I never knew you.
Yeah.
And even people who could do signs and wonders in front of Christ, He'll say, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And when these men, every time, and women, when they click on pornography, they're not loving the victims. They're not loving, you know. And they're for a moment, I mean, imagine standing before God, and He shows you a videotape of all the times you sat there for 2 minutes, masturbated, and contributed to this horrible sex trafficking event. Imagine that moment of truth. I tell people, can you imagine standing before God like that? Especially when you know the truth is available right now. Truth and mercy is available right now.
Right.
I mean, God's the first one to say, hey, walk in the light. I want to help you. So God is birthing this really strong message in me. You know, I wish it could just be all like, Jesus loves you all the time. But like you said, we need to define what is love. You know, if you really look at, like, when God showed Himself to Moses, and Moses says, I want to see Your glory. The first thing God said was, I'm, you know, everlasting love, and I offer mercy to thousands and thousands, and yet not leaving sin unpunished. You know, that's the truth. And in people right now, you think you're getting away and you love your porn, and you don't want to give up your porn, but your life is hell. I mean, I tell people, look at other areas in your life. There's bitterness in the house. There's strife. I mean, they just don't realize the good life. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm like, I'm living the good life.
Mm-hmm.
These people are missing out. Their marriages have no life in them. I mean, God wants to bless every area of their life, not just heal them from porn addiction.
Right.
You know, just to show you the audacity and beauty of God, that He would take such a sickly, wretched, creature like me and then use her to do such a powerful thing. It just goes to show you the deep love of God.
It does.
I want people to know this about him, that you don't have to live a life like that. You know, he can heal you starting today.
You have been listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. For more information about Shelley Lubin, visit thepinkcross.org. That's thepinkcross.org. To hear more of our podcasts, look for Covenant Eyes Radio on iTunes or visit the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog. I'll write it down, say.